Welcome to today's presentation. So this is in continuation from the previous talk on the deception of our own history. Okay, so let us see. So here is a saying: if you teach people lies year after year after year, eventually they will laugh at the forgotten truth. So we are in that state today. Even our parents, grandparents, and great-great grandparents, everybody have been taught so many lies that we laugh at many of the truths when we come across them. Okay, so we are going to see some of such truths in this presentation as well. Okay, so I am going to assume that you already know about these things, that our official history, the mainstream narrative of our history, is a total lie. Okay, pretty much all of it. So we have to completely re-understand it from grounds up. And there was a worldwide civilization that existed until some 200 years ago, maybe as early as 150 years ago, about which we practically know very little, because it has been hidden from us intentionally. And then there were giants on earth who lived, just in the recent past. There were all shapes and sizes of them. And then we actually live on a flat and motionless earth. We are not living on a spinning ball careening through space. Okay, so that is an important thing to know. And carbon dating is a big time lie as well, and so is evolution theory. Darwin's theory of evolution is a big time lie as well. And if you want to know more about all these things, please go ahead and watch these presentations: The History Deception, Clues to Our Real Past, which was streamed last week, and then We Live on a Flat Motionless Earth, Part 1 and Awakening, and Scams You Believe In, This World Is Not What You Think It Is. Okay, so you can look up all these streams, live streams on YouTube as well as Facebook. So if you come to this presentation after watching these talks, then it will make a lot more sense to you. Okay, so here also I'm going to briefly look at some primitive art, so-called primitive art that we have, antique art, and why it is not so primitive, and some of the vehicles in the early 19th century, and early 20th century as well as 19th century, and lighting. This is an amazing stuff. So we will see how lighting was there in 18th and 19th and 20th, early 20th century as well. Okay. Now the first part, I'm going to touch upon some ivory objects. Okay, so here you can see some beautiful ivory objects, brilliantly made, and you know that ivory do not give any second chances, just like stone sculpting. If you make a mistake, the whole piece is gone. Okay, so as you can see, it's a very complex piece. And very beautifully made, very detailed carving, right? So let me see. How do I zoom into this? See, even this face is extremely well carved. You can see that. Okay. So even in modern times, we can make this. But it is going to be a challenge, and you need to have very steady hands, and you need to have really good tools. So you need to have a good lathe, and probably a CNC milling machine, like a Dremel tool. Dremel tool is not CNC, but you need a Dremel tool for sure for hand carving, and you have a good CNC milling machine. So if you have all of this, you can even try to make something like this today. Okay, so but also another point is, the whole thing is a single piece. Okay, so it is not different pieces glued together. It is, the whole thing is a single piece. And this is our 3D CNC milling machine today, and we can generate these kind of beautiful carvings on a surface. Okay, and but it is going to be a huge challenge producing a 3D structure and shape of this nature. Okay, so this is again, how do I zoom into this? Yeah, okay. So as you can see, yeah, even if you have a advanced turning machine, making structure of this kind is going to be a big challenge. Okay, you can see a very intricately carved, very detailed carving. Okay, so amazing stuff. One wrong stroke, the whole piece is gone, but they never made that mistake. And also see, making these curved surfaces continuously like this, it's a challenge even for turning machine. Any turning machine is very difficult. It can make turns around, simple turns around like this, but making like this is a big challenge actually. So making a piece of this kind requires precision milling equipment. We can't do it without that. And look at this another object. Okay, so the most amazing thing in this one is that you can see circular paths inside. Okay, so not only the sculptor have to take away material from inside, he has to carve this round things which requires turning on a lathe, right? I don't know how they have done it, because there is no lathe that I am aware of which can achieve this kind of circular turning inside such a tight spot where the path is blocked. Usually the turning tool comes from one side and then it cuts while the vertical piece rotates. So that is how these kind of these kind of surfaces are made in modern times. But doing it inside this, I have no idea how it is done. Even this is going to be a big challenge, because there is going to be this material around that. So it is difficult for the cutting piece to reach this while this whole thing is rotating. So as I said, I don't know how these are made. And even if you look at the base, this is also amazing. You can see that the circle is going underneath that, underneath those pieces. Okay, this is extremely difficult. Again, I have no idea how this was achieved. Again, the whole thing is this ivory object is a single piece. Okay, the whole thing is a single piece. So as I said, turns are not done on a lathe. The milling head has to move in very small inconvenient gaps around the stem, so which is very difficult, and this is a big challenge even to the modern day CNC milling lathes. Okay, and this is extremely difficult to make. It doesn't matter what kind of equipment you have. I can't even figure out what kind of equipment was used. Okay, so you can see that this is a ball. By the way, this whole thing is a single piece of ivory. It's about 2 feet high, not very big. And you can see that there is some inner ball, and this whole thing is sticking out. The inner piece moves independently inside. Okay, and this piece is sticking out, meaning there is ivory up to this. Okay, so we are back. Sorry, my laptop shut down because of the battery. Okay, so let's continue with this one. And so this is exceptionally very difficult to make. It doesn't matter which time, either now or before, what kind of equipment, doesn't matter. It's extremely difficult. And this piece actually exists. And these are called the Chinese puzzle balls. Okay, so each of the inside spheres, they get smaller and smaller as you go inside, and then they move independently inside. Okay, so the outer balls and the inner balls, they are unbroken. Okay, they have to carve it as it is. You can't split this up and then glue it together. So in today's age, we do that actually. We cut it up carve everything, put it together, and sell it as a Chinese puzzle ball. But these antique ivory pieces, they are like that. Okay, so there are sometimes you have more than 30 layers, one inside the other. And each layer have this kind of excellent carvings. It is amazing stuff. I really do not know how it is made, but if you look at this one, the description of the official narrative, they say that it was done by using an L-shaped knife to cut the balls free. So you can keep on doing that. I think it is utter rubbish. If you try to do something like that, you cannot achieve a finish of this kind at all. You can't really do this actually. The description, if you read through this description, it is as good as my own imagination, right? I can imagine how somebody could have made this and then write this thing up. Maybe I can actually come up with more inventive stuff than an L-shaped knife. Okay, it is so silly. And look at this. This is one of the antique pieces. You can see the lace carvings on each of the balls. This has about 32 or 35 balls. It's amazing. Okay, so I have no idea how this thing was made. And whether we can make it today, I don't think so. I mean, frankly. And this is a... it's amazing that this piece actually exists. It's a miracle. You know, this whole thing is about 2 feet high, 2.5 feet high. I think 21 inches, 21.5 inches, right? And then this ball has about 10 balls inside. This has some 7 balls inside, I think. This has again some 28 or 30 balls inside. And the whole thing is a single piece of ivory. And you have incredible lace work on the bottom as well as one lady figure over here. Okay, so this is this was called as Guigong Qi, Q, or Devil's Work Ball. People said that something like this could not have been carved by a human being. Definitely, I have no idea how this was done. That definitely, I think there is some kind of spirit beings worked together with humans or whoever made this stuff, right? It is way out of this world actually. And here is amazing. Again, this is same ivory. You can see that this was made in ivory, very thin stuff. So how did, okay, you can make these things, okay, as this is fully, right? You have depth. How did they make the inside stuff? Even for the tools to go inside, it is really difficult. Somehow it was done. In today's artwork, these kind of inside things are not done. I have been looking up what is currently there in ivory engravings. It is not there. And you can see the impeccable detail. See, this bird is having an open mouth. So this bird has closed it only at the end of it. It's amazing stuff. And this is what we make today. Okay, so this is in jade. I'll show you some of the antique pieces in jade. So this is in jade. This is a pretty good one, right? So the creator has managed to carve this fish nicely and some other stuff and a ball in the top. It's a nice piece. And so is another one here, really good one. They have carved all these things, nice. And this is even more complex. These are modern day ones. Okay, so today this was made in China. These are like best of the best we make. And even if they can achieve this kind of very small, tiny things. I mean, very slim designs. And these are the antique pieces. Okay, so awesome thing. And as you know, jade comes in different shapes and sizes and colors inside. So they have carved according to that. You have to imagine it and then carve it. And they have done it brilliantly. And this is also perfect geometry and extremely well made. Okay. So if you look at this one, which is I mean, fairly good, I mean, very well made. And these pieces, they are no way, less. I would say these require the workmanship on these pieces are much better. Okay, and here is another one on hardwood. It is amazing stuff. The whole thing is made in wood. Okay, the wood, which is very difficult to work with for artworks like this. You can see a perfect face, and all the hands are extremely well carved, and beautiful lace cuttings around. Okay, and even this the dragons are very well made. No errors. That is the hallmark of all these antique pieces, right? No errors whatsoever. That I find really amazing. And this is in silver metal, right? I just put an example. There are so many pieces like this. It's just, yeah, I can just say wow. That's all I can really say. And look at the face, so perfectly symmetrical, and enormous amount of intricate detailing. Okay, so I think maybe if somebody put their mind to it, today we can create something like this with advanced CNC led machines and so on. But it is amazing that this was made as an antique piece. As you can see, the lace work is mathematically perfect. Okay, so not a single dot out of place. It is so well made. This definitely looks like something made with machines, not hands. So you can go to this link. There are other pieces like this, equally mind-boggling. You can take a look at it. And we know that there are some lathes, tabletop lathes. They are called rose engine lathes, which are even existing today in some museums. Okay, so they say that these machines belong to 17th, 18th century, 19th century, which were used to carve these kind of very advanced artworks. Okay, so this particular machine is dated as 1740. And you can see this machine itself is of great intricate art, right, apart from the function of it. And what a beauty, actually. If you are an engineer, you will know how so well made this thing is. Okay. So that is what art in the olden times looked like, right? So all antique works actually look really superior to what we have today. And in all mediums, you have stone, you have metal, you have wood, whatever you can think of, yeah, anything you have in antique, they are much, much better and practically impossible to make even in some of them are impossible to make even with the today's technology, whatever we have. And they are made with incredible precision, geometry and workmanship. And jewelry, my God, this is too much. I mean, this jewelry I was looking up is just too much. Maybe another presentation we will need for that one. So I'm not going to do much on that, but I'll show you a couple of them. And many of these tools and techniques which were used to make all these things are unknown today. The knowledge is gone. And definitely the best of the artworks we are managing to put out today, they look like degraded versions of the old ones. Okay. And here is an example of jewelry. Okay. So this is from Tartaria, a Tartarian woman wearing jewelry. It's amazing stuff. I could not get a high resolution picture. This is a painting basically. Amazing jewelry. People used to wear this kind of stuff. Pretty neat. And this girl is supposed to be a working woman. You can see even working woman, she is wearing some pretty cool headgear. Okay. So I think that these people are the our real ancestors in their true sense. Okay, somehow we have lost these people. I mean, we have lost these things. I don't know why. Okay, so now let me switch gears and look at some of the vehicles that that were there. Okay, so did you know that in the 1900 and even in late 1800s, most of the vehicles were electric. Okay, so the only some 22% of the entire fleet vehicles which were on the road, they were using gasoline. The rest of the things are all electric. You can see this electric car over here. And this is the Porsche car. This is again an electric vehicle. And this one is supposed to be a telescope. I don't think this is a telescope. They claim that it is a telescope. This one looks like some kind of energy beam weapon, or I don't know what this thing is. And here is a lady charging her electric car. Again, it is 1900s or earlier than that actually. Here is another car. It looks like your modern, very, very modern design. If you look at it, it's a really modern design. You can see that the entire glass work is fully covering this side. Huge glass works. This actually takes a lot of precise manufacturing of this tough glass. It's a really cute car, right? And here's a tram. This is fully electric, by the way, and running around in the city. Nicely made. It must have been a joy to ride these vehicles, actually. Here is another one driving through water. I think this is about 1920 or 1930s. Okay, so this is a newer construction. And here's a very nice tram. This is a tram. It's a three-layer tram. Again, a very, really nice one. I think it's Paris 1920s. And not only that, this is the moving sidewalks. Okay, so this was shot in Paris in 1900. You can see that these sidewalks have been moving for kilometers. So people simply have to stand on it and it keeps on moving. This blew my mind actually. This is amazing stuff. And here's another car. So it has all terrain car. This is truly all terrain. So if it is on the road, it will run on the wheels so that you get very smooth ride. And if it is all terrain, you can engage this one. Pretty cool, right? And here is our Will Smith riding this single wheel, mono wheel vehicle. Unfortunately, for Will Smith, this is not a new idea at all. This is at least 100 years old. You can see that the people were riding these kind of mono wheel things with full engine. Okay, so this is an internal combustion engine. This is again, I think it is 1900 or 1910. This one is 1920s. You can see some these things are much more advanced than this one, the earlier designs. And here is a woman riding this, because this was quite popular in that time actually. And here is a very similar design, so but multiple people can sit inside. There are videos available. You can check out YouTube videos of this. A pretty neat stuff, right? This is again all terrain. You can go anywhere you want. It's pretty cool stuff. Here is the one in driving through, right? This lady is driving through actually. And here is a motorized child carrier. This very neat stuff. And here is a very dignified lady riding, I mean standing on an electric scooter. No, this is not electric. I think this is again internal combustion engine only. And here is an adventurous fellow. He is having this thing on his leg, so directly driving like that. Here is again a self-reliant old man. He has made his own vehicle, and he is going there up. And another strange contraption, walking. And here is a Segway, right? So this is, I think this sculpture existed in Mayan time. I think Inca time, I don't know. I can't read Russian, so I don't know when this was made. But it's a genuine old artifact. And it looks extremely like your modern Segway, okay? The Segways run with a gyroscope, gyroscope-controlled balancing. And Segway name itself was old actually. This is again 1930, and you can see that this is an advertisement for Segway. So it's pretty cool, right? Everybody is riding in Segway. And here is an entire car running on a gyro control. This is a genuine photo. This is not photoshopped. There are some videos also, I think I saw, where this is there. And this two wheel, right? One wheel and two wheel, and it doesn't topple down. It stays just like a Segway. It balances itself with a gyro controlled balancing mechanism. And they have built even heavy vehicles, right? So this is more like a railway coach kind of a thing. And you can see it running on a single thing, single wheel. So I don't know why this has not taken off. This should have taken off because it occupies so much less space. Okay, this is a pretty cool technology. So here is the same thing. You can even run it over a very thin wire. Okay, so you can put very heavy loads on it. Even then, it does not topple. It does not sway. Right? It's pretty cool. Every change of angle, it can actually balance itself. So all these technologies were very old. They're nothing new. And here is all these pretty neat looking scooters. And this is internal combustion engine, gasoline powered. Okay, they're not electric. So they were used in 1915 for US Postal Service. And of course, this is a contemporary picture. This is an old bike. I just put it because I liked it very much. Superb design. I mean, so what do you say, complete, right? It looks so good. Okay, so let's look at some air travel. So from these photographs, you would have got an impression that technology was not so bad after all. Maybe this is whatever picture that exists today, that is what we can look at. But I don't even know what other technologies and other kind of vehicles we actually had. So I don't know where many of these things have vanished today. So I'm going to look at this air travel. Okay, this is a very old picture. It's really old, and they were somebody's story saying that there was a vehicle like this, and then it carried a person away like that. You can read this. So this was supposed to be an eyewitness account, and then they recreated this picture based on the eyewitness account. So this is 19th century, I think. And in 19th century itself, there was a lot of balloon-based travel. Okay, so in the Tartarian civilization, which nobody knows about these things. But you can clearly see that it's a very old photograph, probably the 1870s or 1860s. You can see that they're nicely cruising along. Behind there is a beautiful architected huge building. So they are just nicely going around. And these are old diagrams and pictures. You can see so many designs on balloons, right? So many. Very impressive. So you can see very, very different balloon designs, right? You can come back and take a look at these. And here is the blimp. Okay, so there it is a photograph. It's an actual photograph. Okay, so this is not a Photoshop at all. This is an actual photograph. It is nicely parked on top. Maybe it is slowly moving away. So well made, and there it is, right there. I mean, you can't deny its presence. And what a size. It's a big size. It's again very late 1800s and 1900 year. And it is the same thing. From the front view, huge blimp. So these are the parts where people sit, and these are used for control. And you can see that in 1914 this French army is going, and you can see a aircraft in the background. Okay, and because these blimps were there all over the place. And again, this is 1916. You can see two blimps in the air, and they are going nicely. These are from private photographs. Somebody took these photographs in their own camera and it is being shown. And he is again another Zeppelin kind of thing going on. And this is in 1931. This is Graf Zeppelin. This is one of the most popular model from Germany. Huge. And this one, this is the one which was used to cross Atlantic many, many times over. Okay. So, but they finished it off in 1936 in the Heidelberg accident. So, this was supposed to be an accident because the thing hit the tower, which has never ever happened in the history of these blimps until that time. And then it caught fire because inside the gas was hydrogen. And then that brought an end to the history of this balloon-based air travel. And until that time, there was and air travel was very common. And everything was based on these blimps. See, this is supposed to be a postcard from Germany. And I'm not sure whether this is a painting or a real photo. I'm not really sure, but you can see several blimps, 1, 2, 3 actually. And impressive thing is they are real. I mean, they look so real. The structures are aerodynamic, right? They look actually, it was there, looks like a photograph. And here is Graf Zeppelin airborne. So absolutely brilliant vehicle. And here is the one, this is supposed to be, I think this image is all photoshopped quite a bit because they say that Zeppelin was coming into UK, throwing bombs at UK cities. I think that the whole thing is, claim is completely rubbish because this is just a, what you say, it's a balloon, right? It's a gas filled stuff. And any gun, machine gun, turret gun, or any even rifle, they can really riddle this with holes. So this entire story of German Graf Zeppelins coming to UK and bombing the city is I find it quite ridiculous. You can read the history. And here is again Graf Zeppelin going on, and you can see the lot of destruction happening below. I don't think this Zeppelin caused all of this. This is already happening. It is just a witness to it, I think. Here is again another beautiful blimp. I think these are all photoshopped. This image is photoshopped. You can see the skyline. I mean, those so many tall buildings. I mean, quite a few. You can see that Zeppelin 1 year weak. Okay, armored and terrible and blah blah. So this was again early 1900s. They were able to make one Zeppelin per week, which is like tremendous speed. I mean, look at the size of this thing. And they were able to make one of them in a week's time. Okay, so that is very impressive. And this is a paper cutting from 1844, April 15th, 1844. And they are saying that they have already crossed the Atlantic Ocean with these things in under 3 days, 1 or 8 hours or something. It's amazing, right? If you are able to cross the Atlantic on a flying machine like that, why not? That would be a very, very pleasing experience, I'm sure. I don't know why we are not doing that. The only thing I have found today is the Michelin tire company advertisement using a the blimp, which is very sad. Okay, so as you can see, these are huge buildings at that time itself, skyscrapers actually. And this is the inside view of one of the cabins in that one. It's pretty spacious, right? It's quite spacious, and these people are enjoying it like anything. I'm sure they'll be very pleased to look out and have a good time. And here is the tables. Having a nice time, all food and other things are served up. So this is a construction, okay, the Zeppelin. So pretty big, very impressive sight. And here is it is I think it is just about to take off. Very nicely engineered, Very pleasant, very please, I mean, pleasing to see these things, right? Nice thing, and people are just pushing it out. I think they are having fun. And there are two blimps. I think this is a big one, and this is a slightly smaller version. And this guy is waving goodbye to somebody inside. And what a beauty. See, there are four fins and nicely and slowly going away. And the same one as we saw before. Okay, I think just now taking off, I guess. Okay, he's making some announcement. Some instruction, I think. I'm sure he'll be safety instructions. He'll be giving. And these people are inside. Well, look at the size of it. What a beauty. R26. You can look these things up. And you can see people very small. And it's a big one. And here is a guy walking on top of it. Here's another guy. I think there's another structure standing here. I don't know what this is. Maybe telescope kind of thing. I think. So he's walking over. And this is another design. It's a big one. This is supposed to be integrated inside. I'm not sure how this works out. But anyway, this is one of the blimp designs. And this picture is very impressive. So I don't know what these things are, right? There's something coming out. Is it some jet coming out? I don't know. Another very curious thing is, see this tower, there is a glow around this tower. This glow is not because of the sunlight, because that is not how sunlight glow looks like. It is an actual glow. It is not because of the photographic plate effect, because if that is the case, we would have seen similar effect over here. This is an actual glow, physically observable glow actually. I don't know what is happening over here. It's very interesting stuff. Okay, so if you go to Google and say blimps were crossing the Atlantic, then this is what you will get. Okay, so they will always show only this Zeppelin crash. And guess what? It is 33 hours. 33. You know who those numbers belong to. Same gang. Okay, so they pretty much hide everything. Very, very annoying group of people, basically. Okay, so as we have seen, blimp-based air travel was very common in the 19th and 20th centuries. And people were indeed crossing commercially in 108 hours. This technology was deliberately shut down through manufactured accidents. They are very easy to make, actually. You can use helium, you can use hydrogen. Both can be mass-produced cheaply. Okay, so these materials today are much more advanced. We can make much, much better blimps today. But unfortunately, to get approval to actually build a factory, it is practically impossible, actually. And of course, all the online information is very negative, and it's all twisted out of shape. And you will come out with an impression that there is nothing much to really talk about on blimp travel. But there is a tremendous, I mean, blimp travel was very common. Okay, so that is about the aircrafts, air travel. So let's look at some of the lightings I found to be very interesting. See, these are all before the invention of light bulb, which was supposed to have happened late 1800. Okay, so Thomas Edison was supposed to have invented, which he never did. Somebody else did, and then he just stole the ideas. These are like very old drawings. You can see what these things are. I don't know what this is. I mean, this is lit, right? These are interesting lights. And this is a very old diagram again. You can see that they have drawn it like that. These are all light. So is it really what we have explosives, what we celebrate fireworks? Or is it some other technology? Some of them definitely look like fireworks, but smoke seems to be absent. I don't see the smoke anywhere here. Okay, and also you can see small things coming out over here. It's not clear what these things are, how they are working. I'm not sure. They seems to be smoking. And here is a better picture of that. See, here there is no smoke. None of these things are actually smoking. And here you can see smoke. So some kind of smoke is coming out. Here there is smoke, but none of these things are smoking. There's no smoke in any of these. What are these? Very curious stuff, right? And you can see a glow over here. I don't know what this is and why are these things glowing. And you can see that there are these kind of lights coming out, right? They look very much like electric lights, just like lightning, right? They look like that. Very interesting patterns. And the same thing over here as well. You can see these are like, I don't know whether this is just a pattern on the road or is it like a lightning kind of a light which is coming out from these spots. See here also there are a lot of this coming. And all these things are going vertically up. Perfectly vertically up. Okay. So very interesting picture. This is amazing picture, right? These are all big, vertical structures. And it's fully lit. How do we light these things? This cannot be like using oil and lamps and candles, right? These are like huge things. If we have lit up all of this with that, then there is going to be a massive amount of smoke and we should be seeing infrastructure around that to fill up all these oil lamps and then maintain them. But none of that sort we see over here, right? People are happily running around, I think dancing around, and there are multiple things and they are very big, big ones. Here you can see, and there is a lady over here who have climbed up very tall, and you can see this one also. Yeah, here she is. She has climbed up to this one, and this is nicely lit. And where is the infrastructure to go and to fill up oil and replace candles or whatever, right? There has to be maintenance, nothing of that sort. It's a interesting picture. And again, the same kind of glow we can see in this picture, see around this. Why this whole thing is glowing? Having candles over here, is that why? I don't think so. Very similar to the previous ones. You can see this one is also glowing. All these things are slight glow to them. These things are not glowing, but these things are glowing. Here, this is also another interesting color painting. You can see the very similar kind of thing, right? It's going up from here. And interestingly, you can see that even in the shield, the corners are having fires. Okay. That is very unexpected. See, they are having fires over here, every corner. And of course, the horses are having difficult time over there. Is some kind of a fight or they are having some fun? I don't know. But this is again very strange lighting. This and the whole place is well lit. If we take it literally, the whole place seems to be very, very well lit. And definitely this is some kind of technology about which we do not know much. It is very difficult to imagine that there will be putting some fireworks at the tip of this tip of these things. That doesn't make any sense, right? They definitely look like some kind of electric discharge. And you can see this photograph. This around 1850s. Wow, this is very cool lighting, right? This is a real stuff because you can see the reflection in the water. Okay, you can see the reflection. It's extremely well lit. And definitely this is not a candle and oil lighting. And you can see that these are all like modern day LED lighting, right? Around that you can see. These are all surface lighting. The whole surface is somehow lit. The surfaces are lit. So again, very impressive, very strange lighting. And here you can see that there is a directed lighting, right? Like a modern torchlight. This one, right? The one which shows way to the this one. So very impressive. And even this side, you can see some light going on. And again, this photograph shows a lot of this kind of weird lighting coming up. And this is very some close up. You can see these people are standing around and watching it. And the people inside, I think these are much bigger size people than these guys. They are simply watching what they are doing. And these are the things which are producing light like this vertically. And look at these swords, right? There is light and some kind of emission, radiation coming out of it. See, look at this. Look at this thing. He is putting it on the ground and making these kind of electric kind of lighting. He is creating it. And maybe this is some kind of a generator which is giving the power to these metallic swords. I'm not really sure what that is, but this is a very weird painting, right? We don't know what this thing is. And definitely they seems to be having a good amount of lighting with all this. Here you can see probably these are conventional fireworks, some of them, and some of them are not. Okay, so this you can see vertical stuff going on. The same strange mirror kind of stuff over here. Again, we saw this one. And here is another painting. You can see the amount of light over here. It's fully lit. This is obviously, this is a darkened in the night view of the whole thing. You can see that there are, the whole thing is very, very well lit. Okay, so whole buildings are very, very well lit. And they definitely don't look like candle and oil lamps. Look at the brightness of the whole thing, right? There's a clear difference between this brightness and the other brightness. It's an amazing painting. And again, you can see that on the side, there is some kind of a phenomena happening. Very huge lights. And all of these things are lit up with some kind of technology. Even here, you saw surface lighting. Quite impressive. And here you can see that the lights are there on the top. See, there is a glowing light. Again, very similar technology. Very well lit and very nice party going on, I think, or socializing going on, which is now we are banned from. See this building, it is very, very well lit. Like even modern LED, the chain lighting, right? Strip lighting. It's exactly that. The whole thing is very well lit. And people are having dinner outside. You can see the tables, people just sitting around and talking. Must be a really good time they must be having. You can see that there are balloons from which they are putting out light over here. So look at the number of people. Wow, there are so many people. And there is some kind of lighting over here, chandeliers kind of stuff. Massive infrastructure. You can see big one over here, chandelier, and there are so many of them over here. All very, very well lit. The whole place is very, very well lit. And this is definitely not oil and candle, for sure. And this is Paris, late 1800s, right? What a huge chandeliers, huge ones. Okay, so these are all lit. So the official narrative is, of course, these are all not light bulbs, but they put out this gasoline bulbs over there, which is again total rubbish. There is no way you can manage it. So that's what I read one comment in Facebook. We are told the large buildings, theaters and cathedrals were all lit by hundreds or even thousands of candles. I would imagine it took an awful lot of work to install, along with hiring trained acrobats to light and replace all those candles. Not to mention the smoke, smell, heat, buildup of soot, and the obvious risk of fire resulting from all of this. Okay, so that these are all cooked up thing, right? So there apparently is one of the image where they are trying to explain how these lights are made. Look at the size of it, right? These are buildings are so big, and then the chandelier is way up, and this guy is supposed to be doing something with this long stick. What exactly is going to do? Replace some bulb like this using a stick? Utter rubbish this is. Okay, so electricity was supposed to be invented in about 1930s. That was the earliest time, but as we saw, there is a lot of lighting that was happening. Okay, electric bulb was supposed to be invented in 1870s, but then the images we just saw, which are genuine historical images, and as far as I know, they are really represent what was happening at that time. And then they tell a very different story. There was light everywhere, and they definitely look electric, actually. Some sort of electricity flow lights are there, definitely. And even the building and structure shows some kind of a glow. So it is not clear how they achieved that kind of a glow. And then directed lighting was also there, as we saw. They were able to direct light, which means the source of the light must have been very intense. Only you can direct that kind of intense light, right? You can't make a fire inside that and then make it direct with a concave mirror. That is not how it was done, definitely. And there are hardly any smoke seen in many of the places. And we do not know these technologies, actually, or they are hidden from us. Okay, so that's all I had for today. I hope you got a more glimpse into some of the different aspects of our real past. Okay, so none of these are very well explained in the official narratives. We have always been told that we are the pinnacle of development, civilization, and technology. In many sense, we have amazing technologies such as the computer technology and so on, which are really amazing. So I don't know whether similar technologies existed with similar complexity before. I do not know. But after seeing so many other things which defy the mainstream narrative, I won't be surprised if there were better technologies and equivalent technologies to computers what we have today. Okay, so that's it, and I would suggest you take a look at this history deception clues to our real past. So today's presentation would make much more sense once you see this as well and put things in context. All right, so that's it for today, and see you all in the next session.